You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, September is National Honey Month, so for this Food Friday, we're talking about using honey in our sweet and our savory recipes. First, as we get closer and closer to the presidential election, one issue that keeps rising to the top is the economy. While the country has shown slow and steady economic progress since the Great Recession, many Americans are still either out of work or struggling with stagnating wages, and voters want to know what their candidate of choice will do in order to boost that recovery. Our next guest says if you look back 20 or 30 years, you'd see a rosier time for the economy in America. They chalk the success up to a position that two very different presidents, John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, they say championed tax cuts across the board. It's an approach they say could work again today, and a return to free market economic principles and limited government is what the economy needs now. Lawrence Kudlow joins us now. Larry is a senior contributor to CNBC. He's also a radio host and columnist. He's the co-author of the new book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. He talked to Veronica Rickert earlier today.
Larry, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, today we think of President Ronald Reagan as the pioneering tax cutter, but you say that John F. Kennedy was actually the original pioneer in this approach, and he paved the way for Ronald Reagan to follow suit later on. So how did JFK become who you see as the original supply-side economics guy?
Well, thank you. You do have the story right. I appreciate that. You know, Kennedy knew, or Kennedy believed, that after a very close win over Richard Nixon in 1960, and a lot of it was about the lousy economy during the Eisenhower years, and Kennedy had a campaign pledge of 5% economic growth per year, and he figured if he didn't get that, he wouldn't be reelected in 64. So that was his primary goal, though he never told us how. And then, to make a long story short, in 1961, he turned to his well-known liberal academic economists on his Council of Economic Advisors, people like Walter Heller and Paul Samuelson and James Tobin, and they gave him a big government spending package, right? And so they put that into place in 61, and it didn't work. In fact, it looked like the economy was petering out again. And then comes the hero of the book, or the sub-hero after Kennedy, and that's a Republican named Douglas Dillon, who was Kennedy's Treasury Secretary. Kennedy, by the way, had three Republicans in top jobs in his cabinet. Anyway, Dillon created a much different idea. Dillon said, we've got to lower tax rates across the board. Those days it was 91% top rate, if you can believe that. And that's what's holding back the economy, and that's what's holding back initiative, and we need new incentives. And, you know, he went back and forth with Kennedy, and they basically came up with a plan that would lower the tax rate from 91 to 65, and that would be accompanied by closing a lot of the so-called loopholes in the tax code. And a guy named Stanley Suri, a famous tax lawyer from Harvard, was the assistant Treasury Secretary for tax policy. And they sold it to JFK. He was looking for something that would get the economy going again, and they sold it. And he went with it. He fought hard for it and gave some great speeches that we have in our book. This was 20 years before Reagan. So guess what? It worked. You know, after his tragic assassination, the economy really boomed. Actually, it had started in 62 when they had an investment tax cut. And then it kept going, really, I think for 8 years, 5% economic growth. So he really was the first so-called supply-sider, which means cutting marginal tax rates, so you keep more of the extra dollar you earn.
Well, as you say, that top marginal tax rate when JFK came into office, it was 91%, and that's way up there. So are we making too much of the fact that Kennedy wanted to lower rate when the rate was 91%?
Well, you know, in those days, that was a big deal because that rate had been put into place in the 1930s. No one did anything about it. 40s, 50s, Eisenhower wouldn't cut tax rates. So what Kennedy did was a fairly radical thing. You know, we hadn't had tax rates cutting since, I guess, the 1920s. So, you know, we call JFK the first supply-sider, at least after World War II or after the Great Depression. And, you know, what happens later is after the terrible economy of the 1970s with high inflation and high unemployment, Ronald Reagan is running for president, and one of his top advisors, a congressman, late Jack Kemp, friend of mine, my mentor, and he said, let's just use the Kennedy tax cuts to grow the economy and straighten things out. And Kemp sold it to Reagan. And so Reagan ran on a 30% tax cut, which was what Kennedy ran on. And that would take the top rate down from 70% where it landed to 50%. And then, as you know, later on, there was bipartisan tax reform that took the rate down to 28%. So, you know, Reagan was devoted to it. But really, he said in many of his speeches, this is a key point, in many of his speeches, Reagan cited JFK, gave him full credit. And I think the tragedy here, to be honest with you, is, you know, we need today, we've had a really stagnant economy for 15 years. Republicans, Democrats haven't been able to fix it. My opinion is we need to cut taxes again. We need to cut taxes again, and we need a bipartisan tax cut, which is what Kennedy did in 62, 3, and what Reagan did in 81 and 86. A bipartisan, there's no reason why Democrats can't be a tax-cutting party. But unfortunately, today's Democratic Party has kind of read JFK's tax-cutting legacy out of history. They don't refer to it, and they want to raise taxes, and I think that's really too bad.
We're talking to Larry Kudlow right now, senior contributor to CNBC. He's also a radio host and a columnist and co-author of the new book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. And Larry, you're saying what we need to do is what Reagan and JFK did and cut these taxes again to get the economy moving. But is it fair to compare the economies of the 1960s or the 80s and 90s to the economies today? Isn't it a different beast?
No. I mean, look, growth is growth, and incentives are incentives. So if you're rewarded by harder work or greater investment or more risk-taking or starting a new business, you know, let's see the next new Google or the next new Apple. Lower tax rates have always had a very positive impact on the economy. And I think today, by the way, probably more important than the personal tax rate is the corporate tax rate, the business tax rate, which federal and state is 40% or more. We are, I guess we're the highest in the developed world. We are not competitive. Our own companies have moved offshore, taken their cash with them. Other foreign companies don't want to invest here. And I think that's probably done the most damage to our economy, to wages, to productivity. So, yeah, I think it would be just as applicable today, but it's more emphasis, I would say, on the business tax rates than perhaps the personal tax rates, although I myself am a flat tax guy. You know, I'd probably cut the personal rate to 20% and have no deductions whatsoever. But in any event, whatever I want, I think if you want higher wages, American workers haven't had a wage increase basically since the year 2000. The best way to do it is slash business tax rates. You get more investment, more productivity, more jobs, better pay.
And we are looking at rising rates of income inequality in the United States and around the world. You think cutting, especially the corporate tax rate, is the way to change that?
Well, not necessarily. I don't believe that inequality is the biggest issue. I think growth, or the lack of growth, is the biggest issue worldwide. In fact, some economists, some academics have done work on this that shows the more successful the economy is, the more inequality there is. Other economists have done work that says inequality, you know, it's out there, but it doesn't have any real impact on growth. I mean, look, I think this country has, unfortunately, stagnant wages and growing poverty. And with respect to poverty in particular, economic growth will solve a lot of that. Not all of it, mind you. I mean, there are education reform issues and family breakup issues and so forth. But if you're growing at 1 to 2, don't expect any amelioration in the poverty rate. If you're growing at 4 to 5, which was the Kennedy growth rate and the Reagan growth rate and the Clinton growth rate, 80s and 90s, you're growing at 4 to 5, I guarantee you more jobs will be created and poverty will be diminished. So give me growth anytime.
No, we're in the thick of election season heading into the home stretch. And, of course, whoever takes the White House is going to get to put into place the policies that will affect the economy and the way the economy turns. So with that in mind, who do you think has the best plans to help the economy and lift everybody's boat?
At the moment, Donald Trump is the big pro-growth, tax-cutting guy. He just gave a speech yesterday at the New York Economics Club, cutting personal rates, really slashing business rates to 15% from 40. That's for both large and small companies. Now, Trump is the growth candidate, and although he's an imperfect candidate, and I understand some of the issues around him, on the economy, frankly, he's got the best plan, which resembles JFK and Reagan's approach. So if he were elected, I think you'll see tax reform right away.
Larry, we leave it there. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Larry Kudlow, co-author of the new book, JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity. He talked to Veronica Rickert earlier today. Coming up after the news, it's this week's edition of Food Friday, and we're talking about cooking sweet and savory dishes with honey. It is National Honey Month, so we'll get some great recipes. It's not just for tea anymore, apparently. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.